Introducing Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Joseph Schachter, founder of the Schachter Energy Report online at SchachterEnergyReport.ca. He's speaking to us from Calgary. Welcome back to the show, Joseph, and Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Yes, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to you and to your listeners. It's a little cold here in Calgary, minus 38 with wind chill, minus 28, but in a few days it's supposed to warm up to minus 10, which is where the temperature is where you are.
Yeah, minus 11. For our people who use Fahrenheit, once you get near minus 40, it's the same. Minus 40 is minus 40, whether you're in C or F.
Don't stick your tongue on anything metal.
Well, and all of us have done it as kids and have all learned our lesson the hard way.
Yeah.
Your mom told you not to do it. There's a reason.
Or have a moist finger touching metal or the car, without your gloves on.
Exactly. Joseph, do you have a special little Christmas present for our listeners?
I sure do. As you know, we've been cautious in each of our interviews. I've been talking to that, but I think we're getting very close to a buy signal. So for people who are interested, we think we're going to be sending out actionable buys on quite a few stocks in the next little while. Many of the stocks are down 50% or more from their 2022 highs. So we're offering a holiday special here, $75 off our regular quarterly rate of $249.25 for the first quarter, and then it's to the regular rate. So just go to the Schachter Energy Report website, and then when you go in and do this, go to the subscription side, and you can then put in the code HOLIDAY22, and you can then get the discount. And we think that we're getting ready for a very exciting 2023. This 2021 into the first half of 22 was very rewarding for energy shareholders. From about mid-June on, it's been pretty disastrous for energy shareholders. We've been cautious, as you know, and I think we're getting ready with maybe one more knockdown here into January. So what we're trying to do is give people great ideas, and then they can decide what fits their portfolios, and then they can be ready to buy the names that fit their portfolios when we send out the action alert, which I expect we could be doing it as early as next week or in the first 2 or 3 weeks of January. So we put in this special holiday offer, again, holiday 2022. Just go to the website, people can get access to our service.
Now, a so-called polar vortex is sweeping across North America. This isn't just a Canada phenomena or northern state phenomena. This cold is going to go all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico in some places.
Yeah, and as you get, Texas and areas like that, they don't have the insulation that we do in Canada. So it's going to be pretty chilly. And, of course, the monthly heating bills on homes is going to be ridiculous. Natural gas prices, haven't gone up that much, but electricity prices have. And again, there'll be brownouts. And, especially during that, 4 o'clock to 7 or 8 o'clock at night, that's the highest 3-4 hours usage, every day. We may be seeing in the next couple of months where people are being told, please don't use your washer and dryer. Don't use anything. Don't plug in your electric vehicle, because those are big drainers on the system. and or there's going to be allocations or even brownouts, and the cost is going to be very high. And you know, with the inflation we're seeing, you know, we're talking, you know, problems with food inflation, shelter inflation, and et cetera, that people are, you know, their budgets are being strained. And, you know, do you pay for heat? Do you pay for your meds? Do you pay for, you know, food? You know, how do you, you know, it's going to be a very difficult period here, not only in the United States and Canada, but all around the world, because of the cost of heating during the, you know, Europe's going to be in real pain, because of costs of natural gas for heating their homes, or coal, have gone up sharply, over the last year or two.
Texas wasn't part of the national power grid when they had the ice storm and blackouts. Are they connected now, do you know, or are they going to freeze in the dark again?
They're going to have problems again if they, you know, if the system gets, you know, at a very, you know, extreme utilization rate. They are not. It's going to cost tens of billions of dollars and maybe a decade for them to tie into all of the regional hubs that are there. But they've gone their own way for, you know, since the early days, you know, of electrification. And I think this is going to, you know, people thought it was a wake-up call when it happened before, but nothing's happened. And, you know, the state government in Texas just doesn't feel they want to be tied in to a grid.
Hilliard Macbeth has owned a Tesla for the last 7 years or so. He says it's great in cold weather because you have four-wheel drive. Literally, each wheel is independent, which is terrific for traction. And he said the heat's not bad, but of course, cold batteries don't have as much range.
That's the big issue. Is you know they you know you think you charge it up and it's going to be able to handle certain ranges, but the cold weather just drains it so much quicker. So you got to go charge up. And you know, I think that you know if you don't have your own self charger at home, or you don't have access to high-speed charging, you know, you're going to see a lot of problems with electric vehicles. And, you know, Tesla is now starting to have problems. I don't know if you've seen that they're offering 7,000 discounts on cars now, and they've had battery issues and they've had other issues, so they've had recalls. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see when, you know, GM, Volkswagen, you know, Toyota, you know, Volvo and all the others come up with their new lineups in 23. How much more competitive the space is for EVs. And again, you still need a massive amount of new charging stations across the United States, a lot of announcements, but again, you then go through the politics of approval process. They take a long time, and the costs are enormous, and, you know, there's a lot of money in the Biden budget, you know, his infrastructure bill. But, you know, again, just because it's in the budget doesn't mean it shows up at you, you know, within a, you know, mile of where you are, or, you know, so you can go plug in.
BC Hydro says electrical use is at the highest it's ever been because of this cold snap. It covers the whole province. What happens when they're making electric vehicles mandatory? You won't be able to buy anything else in the not too distant future. Would there be enough power to make sure your home is warm? And your car can get you to work.
I think that's going to be the problem. In California, they've already been saying to people not to use their, you know, charge their cars up or use their cars because they didn't have enough electricity in, you know, Southern California. The governor went on and, you know, visually, you know, on the media to say, please don't use them because we're tapped out. I think that's the big problem is, you know, normally what you do is if you're short in your area and there's neighboring areas that are part of the grid, they would ship you electricity. So we had, you know, days where, you know, the eastern part of BC was shipping into Alberta and Montana was shipping into Alberta when we were tapped out just a few days ago and we had the worst of the cold spell. And, there was a radio interview, you know, a TV interview with, you know, the power people saying that they, you know, the grid was working because they were getting help from other places. But, you know, the key thing is we've shut down all of our coal facilities in Alberta. And, you know, you got to build up more of the, you know, wind power, and wind was a problem. There wasn't a lot of wind in southern Alberta. So that, you know, so that didn't come through. So again, you know, the system is near peak capacity, and a massive capital expenditure program has to start occurring, and it hasn't. And that's really the problem, is United States, Canada, Europe, everywhere has to start spending more money on, you know, renewables and on, you know, natural gas-fired facilities, And I think that's why we're seeing Europe, because they realize that, you know, the winter's here. They've gone and said, we're not going to close in Germany our nukes, that they had two nuclear power plants. The Green Party even agreed to it in Germany. And they've opened up more coal-fired facilities. And in China, they keep on building more coal-fired facilities. So, you know, there's this push on climate change, but, you know, that's going to be 10, 20 years down the road. You know, for this winter, everybody's saying, you know, we're going to have to go back a few steps here and use some of these higher pollutant, you know, choices, because we don't really have any choice. We don't want our people freezing and dying. And, you know, there were a record number of deaths in last winter in Europe because of cold and not able to afford. This year, I think it's going to be even more horrendous and very sad for that.
The Netherlands apparently has lots of natural gas, but they refuse to frack or access it because a lot of the country's former seabed, just like Alberta and Saskatchewan.
Well, the big problem for them was that they had a lot of earthquakes, and so they decided that the biggest natural gas field in Europe was a problem. As they were draining reserves, it was causing more earthquakes. So they shut it down. There's been talk about you know, reopening Groningen for the short term. That's the name of the field, but that didn't get through. But they have offshore fields, and there's still drilling occurring offshore Netherlands, and more reserves are being found. Also, of course, Germany's now got coming on stream their first LNG floating facility, so they'll be bringing in LNG into Germany now to replace some of the Russian imports. The big problem for Europe is, yes, they've filled up storage this year with all of the shipments that have come from the United States, and they did get for a while shipments from Russia. But now that when they have the winter drawdowns here, the replacement in 2023, you know, once you get to April and the withdrawal season is over, so between April and November you've got the storage build season, they may not be able to build up sufficiently in 23. So the problems this year may in Europe be exacerbated in 2023.
Wouldn't Europe like access to Canada's liquefied natural gas? And couldn't Ottawa override Quebec's objection to pipelines, even natural gas pipelines?
Well, the notwithstanding clause is in the way. I personally would think that the federal government, you know, should get involved, but they're going into this hydrogen thing, and they want hydrogen exports from the East Coast of Canada. But how do you create hydrogen?
Electricity.
It's nuts. It's like, they're trying to go two steps down the road, but they're forgetting there's a number of steps along the way, which change the game. So I think the west coast of Canada is going to be where it happens. We already have LNG Canada with a 2 BCF facility that's being built right now, and it'll be on in late 24, early 25. But I think we're going to see they're talking about doubling that one to 4 BCF. Plus, you've got wood fiber with Enbridge behind it. You've got cedar with Pembina behind it. So there's a number of projects that are going to be going through between now and the end of the decade, which would probably mean an industry that 6 to 8 BCF exports. Right now, the industry probably produces about 16 BCF. So that's a big upside growth potential for natural gas in Canada. And that's why in our stock picks that, the action alerts that we'll be sending out in the next few weeks, a large number of the names that we're going to be putting in are going to be natural gas-focused ideas, all the way from, multi-billion dollar companies all the way to small caps, where there's lots of growth potential in the natural gas space. So we like natural gas, number one commodity. We also like lighter oils, and then we like the service sector because of all the activity that's going to happen, and we're going to have recommendations in all those groups in our action alerts that we'll be sending out, hopefully starting next week.
We'll have more with Joseph Schachter right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Joseph Schachter. Just one more thing on LNG. Stuart Muir, friend of the show, from ResourceWorks says just one of those LNG super tankers carries at least $100 million worth of product. And of course, there's all kinds of royalties and taxes on that. Money windfall for Canada that, again, Ottawa doesn't really seem to care about.
No, and there's a record amount of LNG tankers being built right now, and you know, because of the demand. And so Korean shipyards, Chinese shipyards, others are being very active building those new facilities. I think about 170 new ships are going to be built in the next little while. And the day rates they're getting are fabulous for the owners of the ships that are out there right now. I don't know, given the high cost of these new ones and the fact that you might see over ordering and that might impact the pricing going forward. But given the focus on natural gas, versus and the game plan to shut down coal and at some point. Maybe some of these nuclear facilities, if they don't get to, go to the smaller ones that are more fuel efficient and, less problematic, that's going to be probably one of the growth areas is these small nuclear facilities. But I think natural gas is the big beneficiary. Canada, West Coast, Northwest, Northeast BC, Northern and Northwest Alberta, they're all going to be big beneficiaries of the LNG potential. And, the BC government seems to be very in favor of it. First Nations are now, on side, and they're also involved in ownership of either the infrastructure or the facilities. And, the benefit to them in terms of jobs is enormous. And so, the buy-in from all the people involved is picking up. There still are some reticent, like some of the hereditary chiefs, but the elected chiefs and the employment has been very, very positive for the First Nations in on the fairway, the energy fairway in BC.
What's the outlook for oil pricing?
Well, my outlook for 2023, let's start with oil. I think the bottom is going to be sometime in early January, mid-January, maybe, $65, $68 on the downside. And we've had these kinds of swings once the war and the invasion, we went from like $90 to $130.50, which was the high. It backed off to $93.41. Then in May it rallied to $123.68, and then 2 weeks ago we fell down to $70.08. So and then since then we've rallied to about $79. We're about $78.20 today. I think we're going to break $70 in the next few weeks and go down to that $65, $68 level, and that's going to be the table pounding buying opportunity. And I think during the year, the first half might have a range of that, whatever it is at the low, 65, 68 to maybe 75, 80 on the high end. And the second half of 2023, I think the bottom range will be 70, and we could get as high as 100, as we come out of this, the recession or the global slowdown, whatever you want to call it. And so I think that the cash flows of the industry will pick up. Companies that have growth profiles are our favorites. Many companies are just focused on paying down debt and then shareholder returns, which means dividend growth, dividend payments, dividend growth and payments, special dividends, and then NCIB, normal course issuer bids. There's going to be a mix of opportunities. I like the names where you do get shareholder returns, but also there's a growth wedge, because I'd like, given this opportunity with all this LNG coming on, you want to be able to show your investors that you are developing projects to grow your volumes in the next few years to take advantage of the LNG potential.
Several years ago, Shell bought a large wind farm in Europe. Will the oil companies start pivoting here and getting into alternative energy?
They are significantly getting into alternative energy, either with charging stations, buying up and making sure that forestry is left so that the air quality, they get credits for that. You're seeing lots of different things going on in different countries, Amazon reforestation, in the Netherlands they're talking about culling the herds because of the methane releases. So you've got all kinds of things going on, which are, trivial in terms of their impact, but get a lot of press because it shows that the industry is trying to be irresponsible under that E of the ESG requirements. But, you know, the amount is minuscule relative to where we need to be by 2030 or 2040 to meet the targets, these highfalutin targets that, you know, COP, you know, has come out with. You know, it's like they, it's like the, you know, it's like the deficits, you know, the fiscal deficits in the States and Canada, where there's, you know, they're leaving it for future generations to figure out how they pay the bills. And in the meantime, deficits are okay because, you know, we're in power and we're throwing, you know, money at everything. But someday that bill gets paid, by future generations. And, by then these politicians will be out of power. And, you know, it'll be somebody else's problem. And that's the same thing, you know, with this climate change, you know, come up with, you know, very attractive, and very rosy targets. But the implementation, you know, doesn't make any sense.
Is, Danielle Smith, the new premier of Alberta, about to change her title to El Presidente?
Well, if you're an NDP, you may be thinking that, but, you know, look, the legislation that she's got to get out of things she doesn't like on the federal side, you know, Quebec does that all the time and they get away with it. But because of it's a PC, you know, UCP government, it gets a higher profile play in the media. To me, you know, I think that it's just the sparring that normally goes on between the provinces. And sometimes, you know, the provinces, you know, if you look at, on, you know, BC, they have sparring with the feds. Ontario has sparring with the feds. Quebec has a lot of sparring, but they win most of them. And in Alberta, this is the, you know, we've got a premier now who is willing to spar with the feds. And we'll see, you know, if the feds respond. And, you know, I think that the, you know, if we had had, you know, the KXL pipeline, and if we had had more LNG, if you would have looked at our trade surpluses, they would have been enormous versus what they are. And that could have paid for a lot of, you know, more healthcare, a lot more education, a lot more movement on carbon capture and all the things we want from the environment side. But the anti-energy approach by the feds is like shooting yourself in the foot. Because, you know, we are a resource country. You know, we want our grain industry, our lumber industry, our minerals extraction industries to be growing because the world needs, you know, aluminum, copper, nickel, which we have. And we have the best nickel in the world in Canada for EVs, for batteries. And yet, you know, we're not putting, you know, pushing on the pedal to move it forward to the degree we can, given the intransigence and the approval processes to get new facilities, new projects moved and brought into existence.
How rare is it for the federal government to approve a new mine for minerals that are needed for these batteries?
Well, I think that, you know, we've seen in Quebec a few projects go through, but I think wasn't there just an announcement in BC about one project that wasn't approved? A coal project?
Yes, it was. Metallurgical coal.
Yeah, metallurgical coal, you know, for the export markets to Asia. So, you know, the industries are finding that, you know, they are having to go through the hoops, and sometimes they get through and sometimes they don't. And there was an example of not.
BC also says it will not approve any more permits for crypto mining, which uses a lot of electricity, for the next year and a half at least.
Look, I think we've seen with SBF and FTX that, you know, crypto is not a currency. That's an oxymoron. You know, its store of value is questionable. It's, you know, transparency is proved to be garbage. So I think that, you know, it's a fad, like NFTs and, you know, all the other fads that we've seen over the years. This one could be a bigger Ponzi scheme than Madoff. You know, two of his colleagues at senior management levels at FTX have turned on him and gone state evidence in federal court. So, you know, I think that the younger people who may have got a big kick out of Bitcoin and wanted to be out of the banking sector, if they owned any Bitcoin or any of the other projects, you know, 69,000 down to 16 and some of them to zero, it's been a very, very painful area to be invested in 2022.
So, what's the overall outlook for the new year and energy?
Well, I think, as I mentioned, that the first half will have some of the lower prices, and then moving up in the second half as the economies get through this slowdown. I think natural gas will do well. We're looking at $5-6 an MCF pricing. I think we could see 7-8 by the second half of next year, and then longer term, once the LNG projects come on, we could see even better pricing, especially if we get all the projects going forward. That means our heating prices will go up, but it'll help our industry and also provide a lot of revenue to governments. And then I think that the stock market probably will, in the next few weeks. Right now we're sitting around, 32,000 or so on the Dow. We're having a down day in the market today. I'm just going to check that. It's, 32,870, down 500 points. I think we're going to break 30,000 in the next week or two, or early January, and then I think we go down to the below 28,000. That would be the capitulation bottom. We haven't really seen fear in the market. We've seen a lot of greed in the market this year, but not a lot of fear. I think we'll see some fear in January, maybe into February. That will be the buying opportunity for the general market, for the banking sector, for, consumer staples, consumer stocks, technology even, which has been hammered the most probably of any sector out there. But I think energy is going to also be in a very attractive buy situation, and we intend to be sending out quite a few ideas. Right now, the 33 companies we cover, we only have 8 on our action alert buy list. We expect that will be 20 to 25 sometime in January. So lots of buying opportunities. A lot of stocks have been hammered here. And if we're right, they've been using their cash flow to improve their balance sheets. And then in the second half of 2023, they'll be in a growth mode again, and multiples will expand as people realize these cash flows are there and shareholder returns are going to be there. And the yields are not bad. You've got companies yielding 5%, 6%, 7%, 8% right now in the sector. And, of course, those will go up if I'm right about the market going down. And you might see 8 to 10% yields on some. But if you have that, plus you have, 30 to 50% upside in the stocks, it means that 2023 is going to be a very, very good year for investors in the energy space. And that's my view at this point.
Joseph, thank you so much for being on the show. May Santa be generous and your New Year's joyous.
Joyous and healthy, and wishing you the same and your listeners, and look forward to chatting with you in January of 2023.
Talk to you next year.
Take care, buddy.
My guest has been Joseph Schachter, founder of the Schachter Energy Report, online at schachterenergyreport.ca. He was speaking to us from Calgary. If you have any questions for Joseph or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.